Hello and welcome to Wilton Baptist Church Online, our midweek message. I'm Pastor Steve. Thank you so much for sharing this Wednesday, this last Wednesday of the year with us. We're in the book of 2 Timothy. You can start to find that if you like. I'm really thankful for all that God has done in bringing us through to this point in 2020 with all the craziness, all the difficulty, and all the uncertainty that we have come through this year. God has been with us all this time, and God is still God. So I hope that you're encouraged in the Lord. Thank you, church family, for all the kind cards and gifts. And it was great seeing each of you share blessings with one another during this Christmas season. And our family was certainly blessed by your kindness as well. And we didn't forget the reason for this season of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoicing in his coming to this earth for us. Well, we have a very special Sunday coming up as the new year begins on January 3rd. We have our Lord's Supper, communion. And it's a time to reflect and to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us when he died on the cross, shedding his blood and having his body broken for us. And so we have that that plan for this Sunday. That's my annual cough. It's not a COVID cough. We have these nice little packets that are pre-packaged and ready to go with the juice and the little matzah bread in it. And so those will be available when you walk in through the doors. You can get that. And we'll have a special time as part of our new year, first service of the year here at the Wilton Baptist Church this Sunday at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when we have been starting our services, and it's been a great thing that God's done with that 10 a.m. time as well, so we're glad for that. And also, we have some youth events coming up very soon in January before long they'll be here. So teenagers, we'll get more information to you for that, for our youth group. And then also, we have our young adult ministry. We'll be having a special event as well before the college students head off to their college campuses for the next semester. So keep praying for our young people. And let's also pray for all the people that we've seen that have come and visited the church the last several months and weeks, and also during this Christmas season. It's been amazing to see people respond to the gospel and to see visitors, I believe, in every in-person service. In addition to all the hundreds that are watching live or watching replays of our church services. So let's go ahead and pray and give thanks, and then we'll jump right into our message today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this point. We thank you that in spite of all the changes of this world, that you've not changed, that you're still God. And for those who may have fear or anxiety right now, we pray that you would strengthen them. For those battling sickness, maybe COVID or other ailments, and those who are isolated and lonely right now, we pray that you would encourage them and give them great strength to face each day. And Lord, we thank you for our church family, all those who are gathering online and those in person on Sundays. We pray that you would help us to have a greater resolve to walk closer to you and rely on you in even better and greater ways in the days ahead. Grow our faith, increase our faith, we pray. For those who have not yet come to church services in person, we pray that if there's fear, if there's a health need, whatever the hesitation is, that that could be resolved soon, and that you would give strength and courage to each of us to remain faithful, to serve you, and to participate in your work in this local church. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your guidance and protection. All the blessings that you've given to us, Lord, we rejoice in Christ, not only in this Christmas season as we start a new year, but in each and every day. As we gather this Sunday, we pray that you would do a great thing in our hearts and lives as we kind of renew our mindset and find great strength in you to face each day. And so, Lord, we pray this, that you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. So on Sunday, we are starting a brand new series as well, going through Isaiah chapter 40. It's about being renewed in the Lord, finding our strength in God. And so I hope you'll come to be a part of that this Sunday at 10 o'clock. Then I think, Lord willing, we'll resume and conclude then eventually our study through the book of Galatians. All right, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3 right now. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And a lot of well-known or familiar verses, perhaps, that you've seen or heard someone reference or cite in a message or a Bible study. So we'll just read the whole chapter. I'll make a few comments, and it's a kind of a brief and very simple message, but I think it's one that will encourage and help you here today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, desperate, difficult, like you think the word, the root word there is peril. So dangerous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. These are all characteristics of these perilous times. Without natural affection, truce breakers. So they'll make a treaty and they'll break it. False accusers, they're lying and making false accusations. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That sounds like it could come off a headline of any media source. Traitors, heady, high-minded, really proud and arrogant people. Loving, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And some of them even having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Paul is writing to young pastor Timothy, and he tells Timothy, these are some people to stay away from, the characteristics, the people that we just described here in these perilous times. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's going to be silly people, and they're following just physical, fleshly lusts. And there's also going to be people that are very academic, but they don't know anything. They're never able to come to the truth. And they learn a lot, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't really know what's right, what's wrong, what's up, what's down. And they have all this head knowledge, but don't really know anything. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres, that goes back to the Old Testament, and these people opposed the direction that God told Moses to lead the people. They stood up against Moses. They had corrupt minds concerning faith. They only lived by sight. They did not live by faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So, eventually, you'll see the end result in people who do not live by faith. So then, verse 10. But as thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, if you stand up for Christ, and if you make a Bible statement, or even in a very progressive environment that our world is heading in, if you stand up for something that is Bible, that would be conservative, that would be true, someone may come against you and be against you because you want to do what is good and you want to say and act in a way that is right. And that's going to happen. If you stand for Jesus, there will be more persecution, even in America in these days that we're living in. That's the way these perilous times are going. All that live godly, if you're going to live a wholesome, godly life, if you're going to love Jesus and love other people, if you're going to be faithful to read the Bible and go to church and even those on our online church, and you're living lives of honesty and integrity and being kind to your neighbor and showing mercy and compassion and not stealing and all these types of things, people may have a guilt complex around you because you're not corrupt like they are, and they will be against you. And ultimately, it's really because of the Holy Spirit who's living within you and who's helping you be like the Christian God wants you to be. So then notice, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, just by way of kind of introduction and also our message, we are living in perilous times in verse 1. Perilous, desperate, difficult, dangerous times. These are also desperate times that are deceitful times and deceptive times. Evil men and seducers, they're trying to get other people to go along with them, shall wax or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they deceiving other people, but folks, the people who are against what is moral and upright and the basic common sense that America was built on the scriptures, those people, not only are they deceiving others, they're deceived themselves. And sometimes it's not that they even want to do what is wrong so much, but they are doing wrong because they've been deceived. They have not a love for truth. They haven't sought out the truth. And so they've been deceived. They've been following lies. Satan has pulled the wool over their eyes, if you would, and they're following after lies, not just because they want to, but because they believe the lie themselves. They're not just trying to mislead other people, but they've been misled themselves. That's how corrupt the world will be in the last days, deceptive times. Friends, I can suggest to you very strongly that we are living in the last days. Not the last of the last, that's the tribulation. But right before the rapture trumpet sounds and the church is called on up in Revelation 4 verse 1, the Bible says here, these last days, perilous times shall come. That's the day that we're living in. Friend, that's the morning that you wake up to and when you go to bed at night. We are living in desperate times, perilous times, and deceptive times. There's so much corruption in our world today and deceit and what's truth. And you have fact checkers that are fact checking things they don't have any idea about. And narratives have changed and suggestions from the government have changed and mandates have changed. And professionals say this and professionals say that. And we have all of this deception and these people are deceived themselves. And many of them are leaders even, are deceived themselves. This is the day that we are living in today. You have to be careful who you listen to, especially when it comes to media and what you're consuming, when telling you not just what happens, but most of the time they tell you how to think about it and how to interpret it. But I remember when it seemed like news would just be what happened, and then we could think for ourselves as to what it meant and how we should respond to it. But we don't have that as much today, it doesn't seem, because of the deception. These are deceptive times. The next verse, then, through the end of this chapter, offers us the how-to or to what to do by saying, "But continue thou, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So he's telling them that you've been taught something. Paul said, "Timothy, I taught you something, and you've been teaching your people in your church the scripture, the Bible." That's why I'm standing in front of the Bible with these glasses. Those are big glasses, aren't they? Check that out. Incredible. So they're studying the Bible. Someone was studying the Bible. And Paul says, I taught you the truth. You knew the truth. You've been telling your people the truth. And so we live in perilous times and deceptive times, which means we need the Bible. We need some Bible times. We need some Bible times. You need some Bible times. I hope that in this year you will read the Bible more and that you will listen to the Bible taught and preached more. Because of the times that we live in, we need more Bible times. We need more scripture in our life, not less. Notice what he says in the next verse. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what do these verses mean as we conclude this chapter in our lives then? What does it mean in our lives? So Paul said, Timothy, from the time you were young, you knew the Scriptures. In fact, the Scriptures made you wise to salvation, told you how to be saved. This book tells you how to have eternal life, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, through Jesus Christ, not just how to be religious or how to have some kind of creeds or a set of standards that you follow, but how to actually have a vital, real friendship and relationship, knowing God in a personal way. And to be saved, to be born again, to be a child of God, part of God's family. It's all revealed here. So you've known the Scriptures, which told you how to become a Christian through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all the Scriptures, so all these books, even sometimes the ones we don't understand, all those genealogies and things that seem kind of redundant or maybe not necessary, they're given for a reason, because when we study the Scriptures, the Bible, the Holy Spirit illuminates us and helps it come alive to know what it is and how important all Scripture is to daily living. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, so it's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, that's what's right, for reproof, that's what's wrong, for correction, that's how to make it right, and for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. So the more Bible we have, the more thoroughly furnished and equipped and prepared for the perilous times and all the deceptive times and the deception that is all around us. So then the last verse, that the man of God, so ladies, you're included, the woman of God, this means a Christian, may be perfect. Doesn't mean sinless, but more complete, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Furnished unto all good works. So I'll have everything that I need to be able to do the things God would have me to do. If I read the Bible and I study the Scripture, I'll have everything I need to be able to be the Christian God wants me to be. I encourage you, take heart today. Make a purpose in your heart. Determine to read through the Scriptures. And even if you've never read the Bible before, even just 5 minutes a day, read through the Bible and get into the book and read the Scriptures. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of people maybe even read the Bible, but they don't actually study it. And a lot of people come to wrong conclusions about the Scriptures themselves and about what the Bible teaches us by way of doctrine. So we need to be students of the Bible who read it and who study it, and study it in an accurate type way. We don't want to be deceived in these days that we're living in either. I like that verse. It's the theme verse for Awana. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Lord willing, we'll start Awana next school year. That's kind of the plan for that. We're going to have the Awana Grand Prix maybe in a few months. It's kind of our goal to do at least one Awana event for our young people. And we'll get you information for that. But in this new year, even with the kids' programs not being what they normally are, what we would hope for them to be, and even with our Bible studies and things kind of restricted, at least we're able to study on Sunday mornings. At least we're able to gather around our media devices on Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or whenever you're meeting with your small group and going through the Scriptures. But would you purpose to read the Bible? Would you purpose to gather in whatever way you can with people to take some time to study the Bible, listen to a message like this, and pray together? Would you purpose to do that? This year, if you've never read through the Bible, would you pick up one of these 5-5-5 plans from our church lobby? This Sunday, they're out there. You can get these. Take 5 times a week, 5 minutes a day. You'll read through the entire New Testament in 1 year. Would you start, at least start with that? I think it's a great goal. I've challenged our teenagers to start with 5 minutes a day, and some I know already are doing more than that and are getting more Bible into them. And then why not read through the Bible in an entire year? Here's a little checklist, and you can read a few chapters a day, and this will get you through the entire Scriptures, Old and New Testament, in 1 year. What a great thing if we would get more of the Bible into us. Right now, the world is getting into us more than the Word is getting into us. We need more Bible in these perilous times, in these days of deception. We don't want to be deceived, so we need more Bible times. More Bible times. Would you purpose right now to read more Scripture, to be more in Bible study yourself with small groups, and then be in church in whatever way you can to be in church with us? And let's grow. Let's know the Lord in greater ways. And no matter what happens in these perilous times, in these desperate, deceptive times, our faith will continue to increase. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more Bible we have in our hearts, in our minds, but truly in our hearts, the better furnished or equipped we are for these last days that we're living in. Well, thank you for being a part of our midweek service. Lord willing, next week we'll begin a study in the book of Ecclesiastes, Wise Words for Crazy Times. I hope that that'll be a blessing. In the meantime, we are having the Lord's Supper this coming Sunday, and I hope that you'll be here for that at 10 o'clock. We'll have a great message from the book of Isaiah. Also, we're showing the film Case for Christ. It's a great film about a man who came from agnosticism and atheism to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the story of Lee Strobel, and it's a great story. That'll be Thursday night, New Year's Eve, at 6:30. Bring your own beverages. We'll have some popcorn. Everyone will spread out. We'll enjoy a really good film there. 6:30 on Thursday, so I hope to see you then. Folks, thank you for being a part of the service. Take some time to pray with whoever you're with. God bless.